If we are to title the lesson, then we would have as a good candidate, God is due our all. God is due our all. The concept that God is due our worship is not only borne out in passages like that which we just referenced, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. But when we contemplate writings of persons like David, and he tells us in Psalm, the 29th Psalm, verse 1 and 2, that we ought to give unto God glory and strength. And then he goes on to say, glory is due unto his name. And then he concludes the thought and says, let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we start to get that picture that when it comes to Almighty God, then we ought to give unto him glory. We ought to give unto him worship. You know, Psalm 138 and verse 1 tells us, I will praise thee with my whole heart. You know, and, you know, the NIV says, I will praise the Lord with all my heart. And so we start to get the picture that when we are dealing with God, then worship is what we are all about. And so we make the point again that God is due our all. In this concept, we recognize that worship is something that we ought to do. Now, one of the primary meanings of worship is that we give honor. You know, we saw in the passage reference, Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. And so, not only is it that when we think about worship, we think about honor, but when we think about worship, we think about glorifying. When we think about worship, we think about praise. So the concept of worship has in it the concept of giving honor, the concept of giving praise, and the concept of giving glory. It's interesting that when we examine some of these concepts, And especially if we look again, and I see I have readers now. Let's have again Psalm 138 and verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. And so the concept is that when we honor God, when we worship him, when we glorify him, when we praise him, we must give it our all. And then we can ask ourselves, well, does giving God all imply that there is nothing to give anyone else? Well, that we ought to give God honor does not mean that we cannot honor others. That we are to give God glory does not mean that we cannot give glory to others. That we are to give God praise does not mean we cannot praise others. But what is important, you know, that big but, is that what we are to give to God, we ought not to give to man. Let me say that again. Although we can praise man. Although we can give glory to man, although we can honor man, we should never give to man what is due to God. You know, without going ahead of myself, you know, we can probably think readily, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, but unto God what is God. You know, another concept of worship is that of service. When we are thinking of giving God worship, what we are really doing is serving Him. You know, in fact, well, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13, Luke chapter 4 and verse 8 gives the idea and states that we should serve Him and serve Him, that referring to God only. All right, well, let's have that. Luke chapter 4, verse 8, or Deuteronomy 6, verse 3.
Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee.
That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13.
13?
I said 3?
Yeah,
verse 13. Verse 13. 1-3.
Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him.
We should serve the Lord our God. Read.
And shalt swear by his name.
Okay. So what we are told is that where it comes to God, we must give service. So that's part of the concept of honor. All right, you have Luke chapter 4, verse 8.
And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.
And him only shalt thou serve. So here we are seeing, and we know the case here, you know, the devil was tempting Christ. And in one of the temptation, Jesus Christ in response says, it is only God, only God that we should serve. So where I'm going here is that sometimes if we are not careful, we understand well that God ought to be worshipped. We need to honor, praise, glorify Him. But that does not negate the fact that there comes time when we should also give glory, praise to others. And when we commend a person, and when we hold a person in high esteem, it does not mean that we are necessarily taking away from God. All right, so let's come back to service. So if we take passages like what we have just read, when Jesus Christ says, you know, it is only God that we should serve, we can run away with that concept to say, well, we should not serve anybody else other than God. And somebody says, yes, brother, we're not supposed to have idols. That's true. However, the fact that God wants and desires our service to Him, as we are here now giving Him service, as Christians, our lives are lives of service to Almighty God. But that does not mean that we do not serve others. Let's take some cases quickly. Let's examine 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 9 through 10. And here we see the Apostle Paul advising Timothy how in the congregation we should deal with certain needs. And he zeroes in right here on the widows. And he says in verse 9,
let not a widow be taken into the number.
So when we are going to consider how we are going to extend benevolence to a person in need, to a widow, we have to take certain things into consideration. Read.
Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old.
All right, so he says, well, you know, if we are going to take on the responsibility of somebody, it should be somebody who is like up in age. It's a young person. It's almost like, you know, when you see persons walking around and begging. You know, he said, but this is a strong man. You know, why is he begging? You know, he should be begging a work, not some money. You know, so the same type of, and we use that type of rationale as we go about our business. When we're about the church business, we should exercise some of those type of consideration as well. The age, the strength, the ability of the person. Read.
Having been the wife of one man.
Yes.
Well reported of.
Yes.
For good works.
For what?
Good works.
For good works. Read.
If she have brought up children.
All right, so we're talking about good works. Brought up children.
If she have
lodged strangers.
If she have washed the saints' feet.
Washed foot.
If she have relieved the afflicted. If she have diligently followed every good work.
What is the point? When the church is going to take on certain things, it is going to depend on what type of service that the person has done over time. Don't miss it now. So when Christ says Him only, referring to God, we should serve, it does not mean that we don't pay anybody else any mind. In fact, in a type of crooked way, we cannot be serving God and not serving mankind. And so it is that when we see the concept of serving God only, the idea is not that we do not serve others. In fact, we are expected to serve others. We are expected to be kind. We are expected to do good works. But not only that. When the church was just established, there was need that certain things needed to be taken care of. Here it is, the church in its infancy. The apostles were busy. People were, you know, it's still so now. We have much work to do. The apostles had to be putting out the word. But they recognized that there were needs in the church. The needs of the saints needed to be addressed. They need to be serviced. And so in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 7, an interesting thing unfolds. You know, the apostle says, well, we need to appoint some deacons. So what? Church establish? Let us now establish deacon, you know, to lord it over persons, to seem big and tall and holy? No. All right, let's read the passage.
Then came he.
Acts chapter 6, pick up at verse 1. Acts chapter 6, I said 16. All right, Acts chapter 6 from verse 1.
And in those days,
yes,
when the number of the disciples was multiplied.
Yes, so the church started to grow, multiply.
There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews.
Yes.
Because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
Okay, so there were needs. All right, there are things that needed to be done. There was work to do. And it was being neglected. Read.
Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.
All right. To serve tables. So to take care of needs. So you see, it's almost like we're having a little tug of war. There was much work to be done. The word needed to be preached. But the apostle says, the role that we have to play, we cannot leave spreading the word, sowing the seed to go and deal with needs. But guess what? The needs are important. Because even though the word going out there, and you hear the term used in Acts chapter 2, you know, when the church started, you know, about 3,000 were added. You know, by the time we get to Acts 6 here, and the numbers what? Multiplied. You know how fast multiplication go versus addition? Well, can I demonstrate that? So, 6, 8, I'm going to put myself in trouble because I can't multiply so well. 12, 20. If we are to add these, all right, 6 plus 8, 14, 14 and 12, 26 and 20, 46. That's not bad. But let's multiply that now. 6 times 8, 40, does that alone pass the 46? 48 times 12. All right, the calculator. 432 times 2. 432 times 2. 864. 864. So by just changing a plus, which is the adding, to multiply. You see the difference? I'm stepping away from my lesson for a while. If it is, the math's right? If it is that one person keeps teaching, that is an addition effect. The numbers will grow. But it won't grow at the rate of us all working where we are multiplying. All right? You know, but all right, since that wasn't a part of my outline, let me not dwell there. But let's come back to the point. Here it is that Jesus himself, and he was really quoting from Deuteronomy, when he says, you know, it is God only that we should serve. But then we see in example, we see in case studies, that not only in the case of the widows are they encouraged. Well, if they did not serve, then it disqualified them from being helped.
That's right.
in any great degree. When the deacons were being selected, they were going to be selected based on their service. But you weren't finished reading. You were still at Acts chapter 6, right?
Verse 3.
You read verse 3. Well, read verse 2 again.
Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables.
To serve tables. And what is the point? The point is that when the deacons were appointed, their job was to serve. Don't miss it, you know. The persons who were going to be put up, they are there to provide service. Not to be served, you know. But to serve. To serve others. So service to God does not mean that we do not serve others. One more illustration. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26, you know, the apostles talking to Jesus Christ, and you know, that is another study of its own. You know, it's almost like over and over, persons kept talking to Jesus about, you know, who is greatest. You know, it's like, it's an interesting, you know, I just thought I came upon it while studying. It's like, you know, who is greatest? At one stage, Jesus said, well, you know, suffer the little children to come unto me. You know, because who is great is going to be the person who is like a child. And it's like over and over, this concept of greatness comes up. But listen to this one in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. Read.
But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister.
Okay. So, who is going to be great among you is going to be your minister. Oh, Brother Michelle, you are the great. Eh? The great among you is the minister. The minister great in the kingdom. You have the NIV? No NIV. When we talk about minister, isn't that a big title thing, you know? All it is saying, the one who is the minister is the one who is giving service. Is the biggest servant. You find the NIV? Read.
Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant.
Whoever wants to be great among you, read.
Let him be your servant.
Let him be your servant. What is the point? In the church, in the kingdom, if we are going to be great, it is that we serve. So it is not to be looked upon as being great or to profile. But to what extent are we working in the church? Do we want to be great in the kingdom? Well, to what extent are we evangelizing? To what extent are we looking out for the needs of others? You know, one of the good things about the church? There are always needs. What need have you addressed recently? How are we participating in the needs that present themselves? When things are to be done, am I there? Okay, so the gospel meeting is coming up soon. There are things that needs to be done. Will I be available? Service. And it is the extent to which we serve that we are good servants, that we become great.
That's right.
And so sometimes we get hung up on titles. And sometimes, you know, society put these things. But the truth is that we, as Christians, we are all, in a sense, ministers.
Amen.
And the more we serve, is the greater we are in the sight of God.
Amen.
Do we seek to be great in the kingdom? Serve.
Amen.
But let's roll up back to where we are. We are starting off and we are saying, worship. God is due glory.
Amen.
God is due honor. God is due all our praise. Passage says, let us give him all our praise. But let us not be mistaken, just like our service, that even though it is only God who we ought to serve, it does not mean that we do not have a responsibility to serve others. So it is that as much as God wants us to honor him, to praise him, and to glory, give him glory, it does not mean that we do not give man honor. It does not mean that where we should praise someone, we're not going to say anything because we not praise nobody, because our God alone must be praised. And I'm not going to give the person the glory because they have made achievements. God wants us to encourage that. In fact, that's another lesson. Because sometimes, in order to not give people what they are due,
that's
right, we go on like, you know, it's just God alone,
right,
you know, supposed to get anything, you know. I think I used to do it when I was younger, you know. Leave out quickly. I want to wash the plate. Because I gone to church. Not that I couldn't wash the plate and then, yeah, but
right.
So sometimes we run away from our responsibilities.
Right.
You know, and this is not a part of my outline again, but you know, the Bible talks about things like that, even in the concept of the widows.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons given why sometimes the church must not take on the responsibility of certain needs, because Bible is not sanctioning situation where the church is supposed to take away the responsibility of others.
That's right.
Okay? Another lesson. All right. God does not want us to give to man the honor due to him. But he equally does not want the honor due to man to be given to him.
Amen.
Let me repeat that.
Amen.
God does not want us to give to man the honor due to him, God, but he equally does not want the honor due to man to be given to him.
Amen.
Family time. Does God want us to invest quality time with our family? Yes.
Right.
We must make time for our family.
Amen.
Can't say, boy, I'm a Christian, so, you know, not a time for family, you know. we have to make family time. And family time might mean that you ensure that the family comes to worship. That's part of it. But we must still invest time where we are in tune with our spouse. Where we are in tune with our children. We must understand what is happening in the minds of our teens. We can't disconnect and saying, holy, holy. We have to be understanding what is happening. Family time. So while God wants his time, we still must make time for family. Work time. You know that God does not want us to thief time from work. To do his work.
That's right.
When we are at work, when we are contracted by work to do something, God expects us to do a good job of it. So as much as I might want to present this lesson and to prepare, and I'm probably a very slow learner. To prepare a lesson takes me a long time. But can you imagine now, okay, I want to finish this lesson, you know, so I go to work, and at 8:30, I open up the Bible and I start, and 12 o'clock catch me, man, I got you. Guess what? God don't want that. Because when we are contracted, God expects us to deliver work time.
Amen. Amen.
And you see, when it's worship time,
amen. Amen. Amen.
Then we can't be balancing the spreadsheet.
That's right.
While worship going on.
Amen.
Because it is worship time.
Amen.
It is not social time. So that is not the time to be texting friends and say, wait, long time in a seal. What's up? Instagram. Twitter. Worship time is a time to worship. It is not Candy Crush time to be playing games. Because that is worship time. That's God's. God does not want us to give to man the honor due to him, but he equally does not want the honor due to man to be given to him. You know, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 21 says, give to Caesar that which is Caesar. Let's read it. I think I referenced it earlier. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. And whole 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17.
Then they say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar.
Render, give to Caesar.
The things which are Caesar's.
The things that are Caesar's.
And
so give to the government the things that belong to the government.
And unto God the things that are God's.
And unto God the things that are God's. God don't want us to mix it up. You know, they call this thing misappropriation.
Yeah, right.
You ever hear that term yet?
Right.
I think lawyers get themselves in a lot of trouble with that.
Right.
So when they collect the client's money to do the case, they must not take that money and pay their rent and so forth.
That's, right.
That's misappropriation. We must give to God the thing that is God, that belong to God, and the thing that belong to man, to government, to our employer, to our family, we must give it to them.
Amen.
Don't rob our family to give to God.
That's right.
And don't rob God to give to our family.
Amen.
Not a big lesson that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17.
Let the elders that rule well
let
be.
Let the elders that rule
well be counted.
Well, let the elders that rule well
be counted worthy of double honor.
Be counted worthy
of double honor.
Of honor. So let the elders that rule well get them honor. Double honor. So first of all, you know, before you can get to double honor, it means that you are honored. But it's saying, don't think it's such a big thing. but here the same point being registered, you know, don't miss it. As much as God is to be worshipped, God does not feel shortchanged when we honor our spiritual leaders. To the extent that when they work well, we not only honor them, but we honor them double. We multiply up the honor. But Brother Webb, what do you mean by honor? Well, the concept of honor is that you give respect. Yes. The concept of honor comes with it as well, monetary. So when you are going to give honor, it may mean, or a part of that concept is where money is concerned. You know, so I give respect, pay respect, so, not pay lip talk. That alone can't work. You know, we have to put money. Give praise. Praise. Make the person realize that they are doing something good. A lot of the persons are not doing it for the praise, you know. But when we give them praise, we encourage the work. We encourage the work. The concept of honor includes giving compliment. The concept of honor is not just a token thing. It is real. It is substantial. So when we say that we are giving honor, it has all of this multiplied in it. Complimenting, praise, fucking up money. All of this is the idea of honor. And then, so when it starts saying no, the person or the elders that rule well, let them have double honor. So if it is that, you know, it is compliment, it is, what are some of the other things I said? I said, you know, give them praise, the money is there. All right. So it might mean that because they're working well, you give them praise plus money. It might mean that you have to give them compliment and more compliment. It might mean that you have to give them money and more money. It might mean that you have to give them praise and more praise. Hear what happened to us sometime now. We just want to kill them with praise. No money. All right? But at the same time, we don't want to just give them money, money, money. But let them realize that they are appreciated. And so God expects us to show that type. All right, I don't want to forget this one. Respect. Yeah? You have to give them respect. Yeah. And, you know, it must be real and it must be substantial. Let it not, let us, when we give honor, let it be something real. Let it be substantial. Let it not be mediocre. Here is it. Don't miss it. When we are giving God worship, honor, praise, and glory, He's asking that we give our all. So embedded in the concept of honoring is that concept of giving all, giving much, giving something that is substantial and real. So when God decides that he doesn't have a problem in terms of sharing this type of thing with man, all right? And let us not confuse the idol thing, you know. I think I covered that earlier, but let me say it again. Because we do not want to start worshiping our spiritual leaders.
Amen.
All right? Okay? We don't want to give them the praise that belongs to God. But what we are saying now is that when we recognize that they ought to be praised, when we recognize that we need to give them glory for the work that they have done, when we are going to honor them, let it be that we are doing it substantially. Just like how when we are going towards God, we do it with our all. We are sharing with that. You know, time has gone on me, so I won't get the opportunity to give some examples of demonstrated honoring. Somebody say, wait, that in the Bible? Yeah, man. We have examples in the Bible of demonstrated honoring. You know, what's I tell you that we talk about the honoring at Bethany? The honoring at Bethany? I never hear about that, Brother Webb. Yes, there's honoring at Bethany. You know, Martha's honoring dinner. What? Such a thing in the Bible? Probably I'll get a chance to come back and make this point at a later date. But what is the point? God is due our worship. When we worship him, let us give him our all. But let us recognize that in worshiping God, it does not remove the fact that we should serve, give honor, give praise, give glory to man where it is due. If you are here tonight and you are not a member of the church, it is saying to God that you are not giving him honor, praise, and glory, because he has created you. And he has made provision in Jesus Christ to save you so that you can truly serve him and worship him. But you have not even gone into the sphere where he'll accept your worship. But you can do that tonight by accepting the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, confessing his name, making that change and being immersed in water for the remission of your sin, and start living a life of worship to Almighty God. You can do that tonight. The brother will come with a song of invitation. Let us not move aside from giving God all that he is due.